Welcome to today's episode of Journey to There, exploring the intersection between personal and business growth. And now your hosts, Tracy DeForge and Russ Reba.
So Tracy, I Googled the word moxie, and the first thing that came up was, and I quote, force of character, determination, or nerve. And the example that they gave is when you've got moxie, you need the clothes to match. So take with that what you will. Along with Tracy DeForge, I'm Russ Reba, and we have a guest today with moxie. She's actually the author of the book, Step Into Your Moxie, Amplify Your Voice, Visibility, and Influence in the World. But before we get to that, I have to thank you, our awesome listeners, for hanging out with us at the intersection between personal and business growth. We are on Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, the Spoke app from SiriusXM, and we would love for you to visit us online at journeytothere.com, and it's only a matter of time where you can just ask Siri to find us. I've actually done that before. I said, Siri, find me the Journey to There podcast, and sure enough, she found it. And I'm sure Alexa is going to be able to help us. But today we shall ask Alexia. Tracy, give our lovely guest a proper introduction, will you?
Hello, Alexia. We are more than just so excited for you to be on the show. And welcome to Journey to There.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm a little sad. I have to admit, you stole my Alexa joke that I was going to make.
How do you set it up?
Okay, wait. You tell yours, and then I'll tell something funny, too.
Well, no, too. It was just a joke of the moment. I was going to say you can ask Alexia, or you can ask Alexa to find the podcast as well.
Well, today we're going to ask Alexia.
Well, my introduction, oddly enough, this is how much synchronicity the three of us have in this moment. I was going to say, because I saw that it was when you've got moxie, you need the clothes to match. And I thought that was so awesome because I love the whole title of your book, Step Into Your Moxie. And I do honestly believe, based on the size of my closet, that you can change your attitude when you change your clothes.
No, I think for Tracy, it should be, and you need the shoes to match.
Yeah, that is more my signature, but hey, whatever. So I want to just say a little bit really quickly about you for you, and then I want you to tell us about you. So we understand that you are branded as the Moxie Maven, and that brand came to you via President Obama?
Yeah, this is cool.
Not our former president himself, but from his White House Office of Public Engagement. Yes, they did an article on me.
Close enough. Close enough.
And you are the author of... Yeah, it makes for a great line in a bio, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, it's a great first line. And then the author of Step Into Your Moxie, Amplify Your Voice, Visibility, and Influence in the World. So that is what I want to talk about today. Like, that in a nutshell is the topic of our show, because what an amazing gift that you are bringing by putting this out into the world to help people amplify their voice, visibility, and influence in the world. Because no matter whether your passion or your drive or your reason for amplifying your voice is business, personal, based on a nonprofit, getting over an illness or bringing awareness to an illness, I mean, it's just so applicable in every area of our lives.
I agree completely. And the reason I'm super passionate, I'm sure we will dive more deeply into this in a moment, is that I find for a lot of folks, they relate to my story, which is that most of my life I've had an on-again, off-again relationship to my own voice. And there would be these moments where I felt terrified to speak my truth, to be visible, and yet riding shotgun next to that was this deep inner knowing that I was built to do big things in the world, to say big things in the world, and how to be able to reconcile those two in the same person, and more importantly, have a pathway to be able to move forward.
I love that, because I can relate to it so, so much. This whole, it's almost like this angel and devil on your shoulder. You can do it. No, who do you think you are? And those two voices have to merge and become one in order for us to really become who we're meant to be. And that is one of the things that I really I guess I like to talk about it, my own story, your story. I don't think we can get that out there enough because, and I even remember Martha Beck saying at one point, she wrote about the, I think in her book, Finding the North Star or Steering by Starlight, she talks about, you know, that everybody has that lizard that's on their shoulder that's feeding them that negative self-talk. And if you don't know that that's more common than you think, you might think it's just you and you're alone that way. So I love that you're describing it like that. I also love that you didn't say love-hate relationship. You said on again, off again. And I think that choice of words alone is powerful.
Thank you. And that is truly how it felt. So my professional title is that in addition to being a keynote speaker and author, I'm also a public speaking coach. And I work quite a bit with women, some men. And what I find is that when people come to me, they usually want to amplify the communication they put out into the world, usually via public speaking and creating speeches, sometimes in negotiations or in sales conversations. And for a long time, I didn't want to do the deep stuff. I wanted to help people eliminate filler words and help folks be able to craft more compelling stories. And yet there was always this sense that until people really learned how to play nicely with all the inner muckety-muck that was happening, we could work on technique, but ultimately there was a disingenuous nature that was happening.
No,
and of course, I didn't want to do that with other people, the really deep stuff, because that was stuff that felt wildly uncomfortable for me.
You touched on something that kind of hit me, filler words. Sure. Can you expand on that a little bit?
No, I'm totally kidding. Yes.
The reason why I ask is because we do these. One of the things Tracy and I do is we record a lot of podcasts with other people. And I had this one guest once say to me, now, you're the producer, right? And I was producing this particular podcast. And I said, yes. And she says, well, you're going to take out all of my ums and likes and all of that, right? And I was like,
oh, dear.
So I wanted to find out what your take is on filler words.
I'm kidding, obviously, but all those words that come out when our brain and our mouth isn't in alignment. And I could dish for 30 minutes, I promise I won't, on filler words, because I hate to ever say this, because people will go do it. But if you look at old YouTube videos of me from even 4 or 5 years ago, and I'd been on the keynotes circuit for a while, It's painful because they came out all of the time. And the beautiful thing about those little words that come out when we're trying to think, that's why they're called filler words, is that whether we are looking to be more impactful in interpersonal communication or in a more presentational setting, the strategy to weed them out is really simple. It's called stopping and smiling. And that means that any moment where you feel like you are searching for your next idea, you literally stop or slow down your rate of delivery. You smile, whether you're looking at someone or I'm stopping and smiling a lot, even though we can't see each other as we're talking. And the beautiful part about it is twofold. One, you eliminate those words. And two, you create more vocal variety. People get really curious about what you're going to say next.
Interesting.
When you stop.
Interesting. The only challenge, challenge that I see is with when you're talking about radio, stopping and smiling creates a little bit of dead air. So do you have any kind of advice for that?
For podcasters?
Stop more quickly?
Certainly.
I'm kidding. But I work with clients who have to go on TV, a little less on the radio. And it can be momentary. The key is how do you come back after that and really amp up your presence and your energy so that it felt like it was a deliberate choice rather than a, oh, dear God, I wasn't sure what was going to come out of me next.
Interesting.
Oh, yes, I feel that way quite often. But I was going to say to the point of, like, and the way you were delivering it was, you know, stopping and pausing and smiling. And, you know, coming from being a speaker myself, initially, I know that that moment was so uncomfortable because I felt like that pause was so long and that it looked like I was interrupting the flow. But then if you, like you said, your audience is more curious, but then at the same time, you are also really pacing at a much better rate. I mean, I have a tendency, obviously, to talk super fast. And I like to use the pause and smile in not even just in keynote speaker type situations, but even when I'm having a heartfelt conversation or really want to get my message across in a situation where I may not feel like it could be maybe slightly controversial conversation or something that I have to stand up for myself. So for me, and so is my most favorite filler word, by the way, if you haven't figured that out yet.
Just stop and smile.
But I do think that is a great tool to use across the board in just interpersonal communications alone.
I agree. And particularly for folks who are looking to project more confidence, and it might feel like there's a bit of a gap between your internal story and what's showing up, it can be a great way while you're doing the inner work to change your self-narrative, at least to focus on what's coming out in front of other people.
I've shared this story on a previous episode before, but I'm so happily married to the love of my life, but prior to that, I had a little bit of a picker problem. And
I love that you phrase it like that. I'm sorry. I just had to interject.
Well, I'm just trying to be nice. You never know who's listening. So that being said, the relationship was with someone, and I'm a very type A strong driver personality, but the dynamics of our relationship were not necessarily the healthiest that I could have chosen. And what I found that was phenomenally curious and amazing to me and really very sad was that I actually started to stutter in that relationship. I have never had a speech impediment. I've never been a person who stuttered in any other area at any other time in my life. But during that window of time that we were together, I developed stuttering because I couldn't get my voice. Like I was in an off-again relationship with my voice at that time. And it was so incredibly powerful to think about that the influence of another person or a relationship, or if you're in a relationship with a toxic boss, it does not necessarily have to be just a personal relationship, that can be get such a powerful hold on your throat from the inside out that it could cause you to stutter. I just think it's amazing.
I don't know if you ever saw the movie The King's Speech with Colin Firth and Jeffrey Rush that came out, geez, probably 7 or 8 years ago at that point. But it was right around the time I was pivoting my business away from more traditional career and leadership coaching to communication and public speaking coaching. And that was one of those movies that changed everything. So for those who might not have seen it or need a little bit of a refresher, Colin Firth's character is the king. Don't ask me which king. He's about to become king, and he has a stutter. And watching him with his speaking coach have to get comfortable with being seen and being visible. And that, whether a client comes to me because they have a speech impediment, and I've worked with a lot of folks who have a stutter for years. I had a tongue thrust, so most of my consonants came out in a really strange way while I was in elementary school, which was super fun in terms of things that kids would say to me as a result. The biggest shift that we can make to reclaim our voice is recognizing that even when it feels wildly uncomfortable, the greatest thing we can do for ourselves is to actually stop thinking about ourselves and to be fully present to the person or the people we're speaking with, which of course is incredibly difficult when we know that we're in an audience that is judging us negatively or that might have different opinions. And yet the only way to projecting moxie is really doing that, letting other people see us and being unapologetic about what's coming out of our mouths.
Yeah, I think that whole idea too, and we did an episode on this topic as well, was the whole, another interesting communication challenges, and I find this especially working with, being a female, having female friends, and working with tons of women entrepreneurs, is this false sense of need to apologize, to say I'm sorry, even when you haven't done anything, but it's just maybe the silence is too uncomfortable, or you just feel like that'll be the way to smooth things over, even if you aren't at fault, or in some cases, being from the South culturally, saying I'm sorry is equivalent to bless your heart, and it's just this language thing that is just, but when you hear someone do that, and I try very, very, very hard not to do that since I've become aware of it watching it in other people. So I would be the kind of person, if you went down the grocery aisle and it was too cramped and someone bumped into my cart, I would go, I'm sorry. Like, what? I'm sorry for taking up space in this grocery aisle. Like, what am I apologizing for?
Wait, I'd love to hear this.
That's exactly it, because this skews so much more female than male. The idea that if we have a true reason to say I'm sorry, I'm all about taking personal responsibility. Yet when I'm sorry really feels like we're apologizing for asserting our opinions, or because we actually want somebody else to say they're sorry, or because we feel like we're taking up too much space with our words or with our physical bodies. That's where it's really dangerous. Just is another one of those words. I just need 5 minutes of your time. I just need you to hear me out. There's an entire chapter in the book about our words and our phrases, because you'll notice a lot of the things that come across as diminishing are things that typically come out of women's mouths much more than dudes' mouths.
I love that you were using the word diminishing, and I have to say, you really struck a chord with me when you bundled in the word just with I'm sorry. And that's going to be an aha for me, because I use the word just a lot, and I thought I was using it for emphasis in a, like, just touching base or just circling back or, like you said, just need a minute of your time. But now that you have given me this paradigm shift about it, I'm thinking, no, it was a bit of a timid way of saying, are you going to move forward with me or not? Are we on the same page?
Exactly.
And so I don't think I'm ever going to be comfortable with just again, which is a good thing. See, I'm a quick learner.
She's learning.
Quick study
She's
over
learning.
Here.
Self-confession moment. I struggle with that word a lot, even though I proselytize that it's a word that we want to weed out, because we have been socialized to be polite. We, for those of us who are in any kind of sales context, want a way to be able to follow up and not be seen as pushy. It's being creative around finding other ways to connect that don't undermine our power or implicitly make apologies that we want to be at top of mind for somebody else.
Can you give us some specific examples?
Yes. The example you gave is a great one about sending an email or following up. I just wanted 2 minutes of your time or something like that. Another, particularly in a professional setting, is I just wanted to share my opinion, or I just was thinking, which actually leads me to another one. When we overuse I think, I feel, or I believe statements, they have a purpose. When we really want to share, this is where I'm coming from, I want you to hear my perspective, yet it's usually inferred that what we're saying is what we think, what we feel, or we believe, or what we believe. Otherwise, we wouldn't be saying it in the first place. So that's another phrase I recommend being mindful of not using.
Oh my God, guess what I just
thought of? Or overusing.
What did you just think of?
What did I just think of is that I'm very guilty of saying, now this is just my opinion. I mean, that's so diminishing. I had no idea. I thought it was basically saying, okay, like, I don't want to step on your toes. Well, I guess that's diminishing. Oh my gosh. Oh, I got to take your course.
Tracy's going into a tailspin
so
right now.
I feel like it's just you and me right now.
Feedback in that situation.
Oh, please do.
For the love of God, yes.
And I feel like we are soul sisters, because we're usually really passionate about the things that it's taken us a lifetime, or depending on your beliefs, several lifetimes to learn. And this is stuff that I still have to be very conscious of every single day of my life. So please don't go back to the interview and count times I might have said just or sorry or I think or I feel, even though I know
I'm going to just to feel better about myself.
Yeah. When we are able to find simple agreement words, yes, I hear where you're coming from, that makes a lot of sense. Or even mirroring back, what I heard you say was X, Y, or Z, and then take a beat and pause. And and then launch into how it is that we see a situation or what it is that we want. So it's not about it's my way or the highway. We are affirming, yes, I'm present. I got you. And I want you to get me. So here goes.
I love the recap statement of what I think I heard you say. In fact, Russ, you've heard me say that in our conversations before, because I'll say, okay, let's pause for a moment. I want to make sure I want to make sure that what I heard is what you said.
You know, that's funny. That is a Tracyism, because you like to pause quite a bit.
Well, I do, because I want to make sure that I am listening and being present, because I have the tendency to be talking to somebody and look like I'm really engaged with them and be thinking about what I'm going to have for dinner. So I really have had to hone that to make myself be where my feet are and be interactive and not. And I will say that doesn't happen to me as often anymore. But when I was engaged in those conversations with the personality types that I had, I can't say they made me feel this way, but in that energetic exchange, I felt less than. And so my negative self-talk would be going crazy, and I honestly may not have heard what they said. And then I also learned that a lot less arguments come out of pausing or misunderstandings, not necessarily even arguments, but misunderstandings, because so many times what someone says and what the other person hears are two completely different things, like the telephone game we used to play when we were little, but it's face-to-face.
Yeah.
I work full-time now with my husband. He joined the business just over a year ago. And one of the things that has been awesome for us professionally and personally when we're going into difficult conversations, particularly around business themes or we just moved, so you can imagine that brings up a lot of stuff, is beginning something we're about to say that we realize could be emotional and high stakes with a statement such as, what I really want for us is, or what I hope is, that sets the tone about how we're going to speak with each other rather than at each other, begins by allowing us to name what the higher level goal is, even if tactically we have a different vision for how that's going to be achieved.
Well, this morning, I didn't do that, and we're and my husband and I don't work together in the same business, but we both work from home, and occasionally I travel a good bit, as I'm sure you do, and he travels too, but occasionally we work from home on the same day. So that was today, and our house is also under extensive renovation, i.e. we don't have a kitchen, and we need to get some new furniture. So the long story short on that is he showed me this sofa that he found, and it was not the same vision that I had for where what was best for our family, and I started crying. And the reason I'm laughing while I'm saying that is because my emotional reaction to the idea that he wanted to buy that sofa was so disproportionate to what the conversation we were having. And there is a positive point to this, that I was able to stop myself in the moment and go, okay, I just want you to know I am not crying about this sofa. I just have finally just so overwhelmed with this renovation and getting our house back together. And I just have this vision of the way I think our house is going to look when this is done. And that couch simply doesn't fit into that vision. I'm laughing. And it's funny today, right now, well, in this moment, because it wasn't that long ago. But I will say to you that it completely averted an unnecessary and silly and just, a posture stance about a sofa that neither one of us had any emotional investment in whatsoever, but it could have escalated. And I was so grateful that I now have the tools to be able to say, pause, why are you crying about a sofa on Craigslist? And realize that it was a much bigger picture.
All right,
which leads me to my
I don't want to lose your momentum. What's your next?
Well, my question that I've been sitting on before I told my story was, how do you feel about the words, in my opinion? Is that a diminutive statement, a bossy statement, or a good phrase to use in a interpersonal communication exchange?
It depends. And let me explain. It is context, which can skew like an I think, I feel, I believe statement, because it's saying this is where I'm coming from. With that said, if it's in a situation where it's a difficult conversation, you're striving to make it a daring one, and you want someone to hear where you're coming from, it can have a place. The key is not overusing it in an everyday conversation where everybody's going back and forth, and it's inferred that that's what your opinion is.
Okay. Yes, because I'm assuming if you're saying it, like you were when you had those other words lumped in, the I thinks, I feels, and that that's what made me think of in my opinion, because I feel like, to your point, well, if I'm saying it, it's obviously my opinion. And I think I use it sometimes to separate the fact that it's something that I feel strongly about. So it's a way for me to not diminish my, you know, it is a way that I've adopted because I have always had so much self-consciousness around controversy, but in business mm-hmm. and in life that happens. And so I've used that in a way to then, that's almost been my pause and smiling transition phrase. It's like it's the way for me to kind of boost up my backbone and use the in my opinion, because then I feel like I can then say what my opinion is. But I'm going to work on not having to do that anymore.
Okay. Another strategy you could play with to flip that around is if you began by diving into your opinion without context, at the end, you could end with a question. How did that land for you? Where are you coming from? How do you see it? Not all of them. One. And
Right. What
that does is it makes clear I'm done, but I'm open and I care where you're coming from.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I've used, does that resonate with you before? But I like the way you said it. It sounds much more inviting the way you say it.
All right. I love, does that resonate? That's a keeper.
There you go, Tracy.
All right.
Tracy, I want you to think about your takeaways for the show. And before we get into that, I'd love to ask Alexia, is this what you thought you were going to be doing, let's say, when you were much younger?
Oh, goodness, no. I am the least likely person to speak about communication and public speaking because I was terrified of it for so long. And that's why I'm really good at it, because I get how uncomfortable it is, because I was a hot mess because it was so uncomfortable for so long.
Wow. Okay. All right, Tracy.
Did you used to stutter?
I had a tongue thrust. I would get hot. Sometimes while giving presentations in school, I would cry. Like I really, really struggled. And the worst part was I didn't choose to raise my hand and say I would be a speaker. I won, when I was 19 years old, the Miss Junior America pageant. Somewhat, I entered on a whim, and as a result of that was on the speaking circuit. And I would have these moments when I stopped thinking about, am I smart enough? Am I funny enough? Am I pretty enough? And focused 100% on my audience and how I was seeking to call them to action, where things went swimmingly. And yet I didn't have enough experience, nor did I possess the mindset yet to recognize that was a deliberate choice. That was something I was doing accidentally. And when I did do that accidentally, I had success versus more times than I care to admit, I was all about me, not because I was necessarily vain, but I was terrified. And what I always say to folks is that if you could have seen me then, to get to a place now where by no means am I perfect, I'm a work in progress, but I really love communicating. I even love the conflict stuff most of the time because I have a paradigm that lets me do it in a way that aligns with my values and doesn't feel gross. If I could make those shifts, anyone can. Anyone can. I really, really believe that.
Very inspiring. All right, Tracy, what do you take away from the show? It's time for Tracy's Takeaways.
Well, my takeaways have been evident throughout the entire show. The big ahas, the I had a V8 moments have been very impactful for me. So what I'm choosing to do for my takeaway today is to read something directly off of your website, Alexia, because I love this so much that I wish I had written it. I feel like I could have written it, and it speaks to me, and I'm hoping it speaks to our listeners just as well. So I'm going to read this as my takeaway, and it's from your website, and it says, "I live by the belief that if we want to use our communication and influence to engineer extraordinary results in our companies, communities, and in the world, we must stop prioritizing action steps over kind and forgiving self-talk." I love that so much.
Now, after speaking with us, do you have anything that you're taking away from this episode, Alexia?
Yes, there's a lot. One of the things that I thought to get across in the book, and I try to bring into any communication context, is a sense of fun and play, because it's really easy to make communication another thing we have to work on to be better. And I believe that when we show up and we have fun, we default and do better. And you both have done a tremendous job of letting this conversation be fun. So thank you for that.
I was just going to ask you, did you have fun?
We have never been accused of having fun.
Yeah. All right, Alexia, I've got your website as alexiavernon.com. It's spelled A-L-E-X-I-A, and then Vernon is V-E-R-N-O-N.com. And then your book, you can go right to the link on your website, or you can go to stepintoyourmoxie.com. How else can our listeners connect with you?
Across social media, I'm Alexia Vernon. I try to keep it pretty simple.
That is pretty simple. So, Alexia Vernon. All right, you are one inspiring individual. Now, as we wrap things up, I will use this platform as a reminder to Tracy that I am looking forward to the Carvel ice cream cake you're going to buy me for the production of our 100th episode. It's creeping up. Special thanks to Alexia Vernon. Go ahead.
I'm just so excited about it, in my opinion. I can't believe that we're going to have 100 episodes.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome.
That is exciting.
Alexia, thank you for joining us today. This is the intersection between personal and business growth, the radio show. It's called Journey to There. All of our past episodes are still online at journeytothere.com. You binge watch stuff on TV. This is something you can binge listen to. So give it a try. Thanks
and
for
I'm
joining us.
I'm going to step into my moxie.
Yeah,
I'm going to step into my moxie.
You do that.
You're never even going to recognize me by the next episode.
We hope you've enjoyed today's journey, and we invite you to visit journeytothere.com to download full episodes, find show notes, and connect with us by signing up for our newsletter. We want to hear from you. Give us feedback or ask any questions by clicking or tapping Contact Us. That's journeytothere.com.